our comedic stylings will bring you all to tears. Let me introduce the guys who host the show. One is big and beefy, and one is skin and bones. Who Cares Podcast? With Jackson and Mark. Who Cares Podcast? With Jackson and Mark.
I was sitting in the Thirsty Devil, one sheet hung to the wind, when the back wing doors creaked open and a stranger sauntered in. He moved his head from side to side and glared with a sunken eye. I heard the spin of a rusty spur as he shook off the dreary night.
What an opening right there.
He lowered his hat and checked his gun and headed toward the bar.
Cool and Americana all at the same time. Yeah, I think it's because you just showed this song to me tonight, and I find it a little cheesy, but I'm also very intrigued by what the story is.
It's
a fucking badass animation.
Yeah. Now,
it's okay. I bring the volume down a little bit, though, so we can talk.
You know what it reminds me of? The lyrics,
yeah,
like not necessarily style, but it reminds me of Truman Highway. Well, with Paranoid back in the day,
yeah.
The song Bar Hoppin'
Blues.
Your
old band,
yes, my old band, Bar Hoppin' Blues.
Yeah,
and which actually brings me to another funny point that I forgot to even tell you about. And
yeah, that's badass. Sure, Rob Zombie didn't write this song.
Who the hell do you think you are? My patience growing thin, but swallow hard I had to do when the story began.
It's like
a mix
between like Irish pirate music or like pirate music.
Hailstorm.
Yeah,
this is like rockabilly, right? That would be
rockabilly. I guess so, yeah. But it's better than that. Like rockabilly too cheap.
And this isn't cheesy.
It's a little bit cheesy.
It's
like Dropkick Murphy's Western style.
It's literally called Drink with the Living Dead.
Yes. Yes, it is. So, anyway, the other day I was playing guitar. And I was trying to record a song. And I was listening to one of the songs I recorded. And it brought me back to the old Truman Highway days. And I wrote a whole thing then. I was drunk.
Yeah.
And apparently I wrote part of it when I was peeing. Because... I notated that, and I wrote, by the way, I'm writing this while peeing.
Interesting. Yes. Was this on a piece of paper or on a phone?
It was on a notebook.
Okay.
And
the notebook wasn't, like, sopping wet because you dropped it in the toilet?
No, it was good. I didn't drop it in the toilet. And but I wrote all the stuff about, like, us being fucking... We were never prepared, but we always fucking delivered, no matter what.
Oh, Truman Highway?
Yeah. As ill prepared as we were to go into that show, as fucking late as we were, and as chaotic as we were, and as fucking stupid as we were, we delivered. Every fucking show we played was the best show we ever played.
I will say, because you guys, you were a group of four, and you had an original group of three.
Yeah.
You know, you guys had the talent, but you were a big group of bumbling fuck-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
And you half the shit you guys accomplished, you wouldn't have been able to do if it wasn't for your support staff, like me and Andrew Cassino. So, you know, big shout-outs
to
them. Before we keep going, why don't we give a shout-out to who that song and band was? Because they're not a big band like we usually play, that we usually steal from. So maybe we give them a plug.
Yeah, well, I would have to go back and do that now.
It's called, like, Ghoul Town, right?
Ghoul Town. Drink with the Living Dead. Yeah, I found it. I was listening to either Black Label Society or Arch Enemy on YouTube, and it brought me to that. I thought it was
fucking see
cool.
Maybe Black Label leading you there.
I know, it's
but
weird.
Arch Enemy,
yeah.
No.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, I guess metal. But
anyway, this is the Who Cares Podcast. Today's episode, we have a couple of, you know, personal story things we're going to share in the beginning. And then, you know, as we've said in the last episode, we're doing this new format thing where we talk about actual topics. So, you know, later on in the show, I think a big part of what we'll be discussing is I want to debate with you, Jackson, about the idea of universal basic income. I think
didn't we do that last time?
No, I brought it up to you. And then I told you about it, and then we saved it. Because the problem is like, I can't...
Are you sure we didn't talk about
it? No,
we
didn't talk about it. We can't... I can't pitch topics to you outside the show, because we end up just doing the show right there over the phone.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And that's why it feels like we have already talked about it, because we did kind of... We totally didn't. Because in the last episode, we discussed the... who that idiot guy is trying to unseat Elizabeth Warren.
But and didn't you bring that up?
No, I didn't. It was afterwards.
I remember the boring shit you tell me before you even tell me it. come on, that was a good line.
Yes, you suck.
The fact that we're on stereo tracks right now means that you can cut out your bullshit right there and let that line sit.
You're the worst. but no, that's the problem. That's why this preparing for this is difficult, because I can't talk to you about stuff beforehand, because we debate it when we're supposed to be debating it on the show.
Yeah,
and then you're bored
you
by
can't
it.
Prepare for a show that's, yeah.
Well.
You said it.
Be able to prepare. Anyway.
You said it, man.
You said it, man. Hey, man. But let's, you know, specifically, and I just because I'm excited to be talking about this, is the clip that you have
okay,
from my
good.
House last week.
I thought
weekend.
You were going to talk about universal health.
Oh, no. That's going to be later on. I want to talk about this first.
That's
going to
be
This is where I said we're talking about personal shit to start.
Yes. Yeah, personal fun stuff.
Like, yeah. So,
and then when we get to the other part.
Even if this were true, who cares?
Yeah. Anyway.
So this is a piece of audio that I recorded a couple weeks ago. When So Mark's upstairs neighbors are a bunch of rowdy frat boys.
Yeah.
To use the parlance of our times.
Yeah. I've been living in this apartment now for about 2 years, and I've had three tenants moving into the floor just above me. We have like
a perfect song for this.
Yeah, we have three floors in this apartment. There's a unit upstairs. There's a unit on the third floor, a unit on the second floor. I'm on the first floor. I've been lucky that the first two people I had living directly above me have been relatively quiet. The guy that was living in there before me, he had a kid, so it was he had a kid running around, but that wasn't that bad. The people after them were like this two very quiet college-age kids, perfectly behaved, no problems at all. Now, I have these two dipshits upstairs that they have a stereo system that's got the bass cranked up like you hear in like cars driving through the ghetto where they just vibrate your windows.
Yes. We're going to have to tell your sister not to listen to this episode.
But anyway, so you know, they like to play their stereo at all hours of the night, and it literally is so, like, it vibrates the walls. And what was this, like last weekend, I think it was, they had a huge blowout party upstairs. And Jackson, you're defending them the whole fucking time.
I defend them because they're nice guys, and it was a Saturday fucking night.
I don't mind a Saturday night if you're gonna go, but like, don't do it. Don't be thumping the bass at 3 a.m. Like, there's no reason for that. I don't give
you
a shit.
You sound so old and so white.
I'll tell you.
Don't be thumping the bass at 3 a.m.
Well, there's no other way to describe it. I'm literally sitting on the couch, and like, my head is vibrating. I can feel the walls shaking. So that night last weekend during that party, Jackson and my wife and I and my sister-in-law, we were sitting out on my deck, and these guys had their windows all open. So you could just hear the music was loud as fuck, just all over the place. It's all you could hear. And they're rowdy as fuck up there. But then on the third floor, we have this insane old crone lady, I think is the best way to describe her.
Crone?
I'm fairly certain that she deals drugs and also possibly prostitutes herself. I'm not 100% sure. I do see her get into the car with young men, and then they drive around for like 20 minutes, and then they come right back. So it's like they're not giving her a ride to the grocery store.
So the people that your frat boy boys, they were doing this. I recorded it from the outside.
Yeah, you can hear that bass. This is from a whole floor down. Yeah. So the woman upstairs did not appreciate this.
Her
adult mature solution to the problem is to open her window. That's the fucking thing. So she's screaming out the window at them.
And so that's her scream. She, you know, she sounds like the mother from Throw Your Mama from the Train. Yeah.
But she was upstairs. She's screaming at them to stop the music, and she's just calling them fuckers and telling them she's going to call everybody from the landlord to the cops. And then she literally just starts throwing things around her apartment, trying to compete with their noise level, which is the most bizarre fucking thing. Because it's like, how am I'm going to get you to stop being disruptive by literally destroying my own property?
Well, you don't know if that's true. You don't know if she was doing that for that. Well, maybe she was just mad. But so then, tonight, it's a whole new level of shit. The guys upstairs were blaring music. I think they left to go parquet.
Yeah, no, they'll be back at 3 a.m. and they'll be doing it again, and I'm going to be pissed, but...
But the Spanish people across the street are blaring music.
I don't even think they're directly across the street. I think they're like two houses away from us. Like,
no, they're across the street.
They're really loud.
No, I saw them. Right, no, yes, it is. I saw
them. There?
Yeah, they're doing it from their car in their backyard. They're partying and they're blasting the car lights.
I thought it was like the car next, a house next to that.
No, it's right. It's the place with the peach tree.
All right.
I swear. Anyway. I went out and recorded it.
But see, I like what they were playing. They were playing this like kind of low key. What would you like?
No, it's not low key.
I mean, like it was loud. But it's like acoustic guitar and it's like salsa kind of like
salsa dancing music, you know, with a boom,
southwestern
boom.
Acoustic guitar with a Mexican twang kind of thing.
Wow, that was fucking.
Was that racist?
No,
did
that,
I just do racism?
Yeah, that was awful.
Is
it's
that the
Mexican
worst way to describe?
Music. It's shit that you would hear at Alex's restaurant, actually.
Yeah. At Alex's restaurant, Alex, a friend of ours from Truman Highway. Owns a restaurant.
Well, I texted the other day. Did I tell you that?
What?
I texted him.
You texted him?
Yeah.
Did he respond?
Yes.
What did he say?
Well, I was in an Uber.
This is so boring radio, but tell me.
Is it boring?
It's kind of boring, but tell me
the
anyway.
The music perfect for it, though.
Yeah.
I saw him in the window of the model.
Uh-huh.
And I was in an Uber, and I was waving at him like a fucking idiot, and I couldn't get his attention, so I texted him. I said, hey, man, you're looking sexy as always sitting at their window.
Model is a bar in Alston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, which he apparently works the door at on Saturday nights.
Yeah. I mean, he basically lives there.
Yeah, so the reason I recorded that was because the dog was going to the rhythm of it, but he stopped barking, he started going again.
This is my neighbor's dog upstairs, which I don't mind. I don't care if a dog is loud. I like a dog.
Your wife's trying to sleep.
She can't hear. Dude, she can't hear
beat.
Shit when she's sleeping.
Really? That's funny. So, anyway, and then Alex's birthday was the other day. I texted him.
Oh, that's cute.
And he said thank you.
I did, years ago, for his birthday, I did a picture of him, because he's got a lot of pictures of himself shirtless. So I have a picture of him doing, like, the muscle pose. I photoshopped him doing that pose, jumping out of a birthday cake, which I made covered in tacos. So it's a taco birthday cake. And this was like, how long? This was like almost 10 years ago that I created this thing at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was a long time ago.
Every time somebody on his Facebook has a birthday, he posts that picture on their Facebook wall.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for almost 10 years.
Well, it's
still
a fantastic
it.
Picture.
It's a great picture.
He does. He looks quite jolly in the picture.
I love fucking seeing it pop up because it reminds
me. I mean, it's a little bit
time.
Gay.
It is very gay.
It's
yes.
funny.
And the erection I had while working on it is very gay.
Move this man.
Yeah, that's what I do.
We have I don't know if there's pictures of him during Wally's bachelor party or not. You weren't there. Did we ever tell you about this?
No, I don't think so. I don't do bachelor parties.
We were at the MGM Grand in Foxwoods there, he was naked, and we had him in an office chair.
Okay. Were you guys alone in a hotel room?
No,
or were
no,
you out on the main floor of Foxwoods?
It was in a hotel. It was in the suite.
Okay, so you guys were in a private area.
Yeah. Well, no, we rolled him down the hallway, though.
Okay.
And
was he asleep?
Yeah, he was passed out.
Okay, because Alex is a bit of a narcoleptic.
We put cards in his hand. We put a sombrero on him and cards in his hand. So he looked like a Mexican, card dealer or some kind.
So he has, it's the worst combination for him because he's a guy, he loves to party, he loves to take his clothes off. But he's also like a narcoleptic or something like that. So
he's not. He just falls asleep. He passes out when he's drunk.
He just falls asleep. He just.
Well, that was back when he was a hardworking fella.
He just falls asleep.
I don't know.
So
anyway, so we rolled him in front of the elevator.
Exactly. He puts himself in a bad situation and then he just conks right out in an instant. He's like my 6-year-old nephew. He's just 1 second he's there, second gone.
Well, there's a port of alcohol where his and so we rolled him in front of the elevator and it opened and it was a bachelorette party. And they all screamed to close the elevator door.
They're like, hey, ladies, here's your stripper that you ordered. Sorry if he seems a little. Shame on Alex. Actually, shame on you guys for doing that.
It was totally awful.
Alex is an angel. He is a golden child.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I know. I'm just being nice.
Yeah.
We actually did a bachelor party the other night, impromptu bachelor party for a friend of ours who got married yesterday or today. What's today? Saturday? Yeah, he got married today. So congratulations, Adam.
I have audio from that can play if we want.
Yeah, if you have it queued up. Anyway, yeah, we did an escape room, which was kind of fun.
It was really fun.
Yeah, I've heard of the escape rooms. I always kind of looked at them as like, oh, this is like a team building exercise for like middle management white people, you know, where it's just like, you know, you drag all these people who are like, they work too much. So they don't have social lives outside of work. So they just pretend the people they work with are their friends. And then they do team building exercises to pretend that they have a social life. But it was actually surprisingly fun. But as you pointed out, it's this place in Boston. It's called Escape Boston or something like that.
And good job, asshole. You yelled at me for not giving a plug on the radio.
Yeah, well, you were on a real radio show. This is a shitty podcast that nobody's going to listen to. And I'm going to look it up right fucking now because Matt texted it to me. So I'm looking at my texts.
Yeah, that's interesting, too.
The Escape Room Boston. It was called the Escape Room Boston. So the fuck up. It's right in Downtown Crossing. And you were pointing out to me, you checked out their website. They have three different exhibits. They have
You don't hear from me for a while.
They have a dungeon, you were saying, right? They have a dungeon and like a cave, like a mine.
What's it gonna be walking?
Sorry.
And then
they have a dungeon, a cave, like a dungeon type deal, and an apartment.
And then and our buddy Matt who
and
set
a clock
this up,
tower.
A clock tower. So a clock tower, a dungeon, and then Matt picked the apartment.
It looks like Jerry Seinfeld's apartment inside, except for much smaller. Like, what? Like, if you're going to do something like that, why not? Like,
well,
I just don't understand the concept.
Well, he explained at the end, he's like, when we were done with the game, he said, like, oh, well, I picked the apartment because I felt like we didn't have enough people to do the other two. And the woman, our host woman, she said, actually, you kind of have too many people to do the apartment properly.
Yeah, come on. It says how many people you need on the website. It was very clear about that on the website I saw, at least.
My favorite part about that, though, is so you go in and they have a series of puzzles where you have to get basically the combinations for a series of combination locks, and you have to and when you unlock those, you get a series of keys to unlock padlocks.
Yes.
And so one of the clues that we got was a DVD that you were super excited about because we popped it into the television they had there, and the DVD had a series of clips of sitcom openings. And Jackson, you love sitcoms.
Oh, yeah. It was fucking awesome.
And they were all sitcoms with numbers in the title, like Seven Heaven, Three's Company.
Oh, we're not allowed to talk about this.
Why?
Well, the lady told us not to. But we can. I'm not saying not to.
No, because we're not telling what the clue is. We're just telling the kind of stuff that they did.
Okay.
So, you know, because we're not, yeah, if we, yeah, fuck off. So they did like Seventh Heaven and like Three's Company and Eight Is Enough, stuff like that. And Jackson is such a fucking sitcom junkie.
I was singing a lot of them.
That we're trying to remember the numbers and then the order. And he's just sitting there going like, Three's Company.
Seventh Heaven. And when you see this smile, smile.
Oddly enough,
at
I guess
you.
Like your weird, like on the spectrum style of brainwaves when it comes to sitcoms, you were able to remember the sequence of numbers, even though you weren't really seeming to be paying attention.
No, yeah, it was good.
So we let you punch the numbers into the safe, which I guess turned out to be a mistake because you fucked it up twice safe.
Somebody else fucked it up before I did it, and it was locked. And she told us some asshole in the back hit the magnet by accident.
Oh, okay.
Nobody knows what we're talking about unless you've actually done it.
The safe wasn't opening. It wasn't working right. And we had like 2 minutes down, and it was funny because Matt is essentially like the guy who set this all up. So he's like our team leader, and he just totally just gets so like depressing at that point. It's 2 minutes to go. The safe isn't working. He's just like, oh, we should just give up. We're never going to do this. Just give up, everybody. And we're like, we're almost there. We should at least just keep going to the end. He's like, nah, we're dead. It's over. And then they released the toxin gas, and we died.
No, but it was pretty awesome.
We're not alive right now.
When I was doing the last puzzle, you were literally counting down to me like 29.
I know.
It was very epic.
Well, I'd say because I felt like Jack Bauer.
I recorded the end. I don't know what this is, but
yeah,
Adam, so are we using this escape room as a test to see if you can escape your future marriage?
No, it's not like that. It's just for fun.
It's not like that. It's just
for
fun.
Oh, yeah. So you get married when?
Saturday, 15th. All right.
Which is now.
Yeah.
September.
Good job.
He's probably fucking drunk as shit right now.
I was supposed to get married tomorrow. Escape room.
Don't fucking. Just
it's like, what, five, one, two, three, four, five, six of us.
Well, you got Jackson not helping at all.
I'm helping. I'm the entertainment.
Play this on the radio.
Yeah.
You're going to get some Carlson McKenzie coverage.
Hey, there's my fucking shithead voice.
I do know that.
I actually cut you out when I played it on the radio.
Fuck you.
All right, so there's a Scrabble board here with some words.
Do we have...
Did I tell you, by the way, so as in true Jackson fashion, when we get to the escape room, it was kind of tricky to get because it's like this nondescript building, and we had to like do a call-up thing, and then they're like, okay, we're going to unlock both doors, but you got to open them both at the same time, or you're not going to be able to get in. And I'm like, it's like an escape room to get into the escape room. But we got the doors open, and of course, that's when Jackson decides, you know what, I'm going to follow you guys up. I'm going to light up a cigarette real quick. And so leave him outside. And we leave you outside to smoke, and we go into the elevator, and we're just standing there talking about like what an idiot you are for like staying outside. And then Ali's like, how do you guys even know him?
Oh, that reminds me of my fantastic joke. When Ali left the other night, I go, Ali, I left.
I hate you. I hate you so much. You're done. You're done. You're done. Fired. I'm getting a new podcast. I hate you.
That's my favorite joke I've ever made in a crowd.
Oh, you're the worst.
It was so funny.
No, you did a good. My wife said that you were ridiculously funny that night. Actually,
that was very
she
funny.
Enjoyed spending time with you.
Good.
You know.
Yeah,
so.
I had a lot of ideas for good inventions that night.
Well, we had Vape Sack. Remember, you came up with Vape Sack, and you told me to do the marketing for it. And I was like, yeah, sack up.
I didn't actually write that down until the other day when your wife texted me about it. But I have to, dude.
Yeah, she thought that was a riot.
It's a great thing.
Yeah, vape sack would be good. It's like just a sack to store all your vape shit in.
And horse NATO. You're an idiot because you don't understand it.
I understand it. I just don't think it's very good.
Well, it's not very good. Neither is Shark NATO.
Vape sack is good.
Well,
vape sack up?
Of course.
This is perfect. So moving on to more topical things, and we'll get into like subjects we're going to talk about. Just before we started recording, I did... quickly, like I found a very interesting, kind of scary news report. This just came out today, I think. Mm-hmm. So you know how they have the alerts on your phone now that let you know if there's like a lost kid nearby or like a storm coming.
Yeah. What? I'm sorry. Man, I really wish I could have done that. I really wanted to interrupt you.
Anyway, so you get those automatic alerts on your phone that tell you about storms or dead kids, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, not dead kids. It wouldn't matter at that point.
I don't give a shit.
You're missing kids.
All kids are dead to me until proven otherwise.
That's weird.
So they just announced FEMA is next week, starting on September 20th, actually. So everybody keep an eye out for this. They're going to start a test where they're going to allow President Trump to directly message people's phones with emergency alerts.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
It's going to be bad, man.
That's going to be great.
And the White House, this is the thing. The White House has come out and said, we know that Trump says a lot of things on Twitter, but we promise he's not going to abuse this new technology.
Wait, so what you're saying is, why would they do that?
Because, well...
Is that an Onion article you read?
No. This is real.
Haven't you been fooled by the Onion before?
No, I haven't. I don't get... This is from The Hill. Look, right there.
Yeah, The Hill.
Okay? And FEMA came out and said... Where is it? Because they said specifically, like, if you think about it unbiasedly, if you separate this from the politics and personality of any individual president, then this is a great idea and an amazing use of technology to reach everybody if they're in harm's way, said Karen North, director of the Annenberg Digital Social Media Program
for
at the University
to text
of Southern California.
One-on-one?
No, not like a text message from his phone, but like when you get an Amber Alert on your phone, like the president can send out his own version of an Amber Alert.
Wow.
So if the president says like...
I'm sure he can do that anyway, though.
No, there's no system in place that allows the White House to directly have FEMA send out a message directly from the White House automatically to people's phones. Right now, it's just for emergency alerts and
That's
and
funny,
dead kids.
Man. That's fucking ridiculous.
But, and I don't know what the vetting process is going to be for this. They haven't really gone into that. But on the 20th, you're going to get an alert from your phone that says this is a test message from the president. This is just a test.
I'm very impressed that you got through that sentence right there.
Yeah, this is a test message from the president. This is
via
only a
text.
Via text. Well, it's not going to be a text. It's going to be like an alert. It just pops up. A window pops up on your phone, and then
great.
It goes away.
I would use that for such evil.
Because I get annoyed by those. Like I get those for like snow for like rainstorms and stuff. Like when we have the heavy.
You get annoyed
rain.
By them?
Well, because when if you ever like you get.
How can you be annoyed by a humanitarian warning?
No, not for the dead kids. I'm talking about for storms.
I'm talking
like
about
when they
storms.
Announce in Boston like flooding's going
the
to be.
Fuck
there's
are they
possibility
supposed to...
of flooding. Like I don't give a shit.
What? How can they not tell
because
you?
Because the people who need to be concerned about the possibility of flooding are the people who live in areas that can flood.
We live in
can't.
An, yes, we
no,
can.
No, we cannot.
Yes, anybody can
we
flood.
Live on the top of a hill.
Would you... Oh, my God.
You live higher up on the hill.
I can't believe I'm hearing this
you
from
cannot.
You.
Your house will never be flooded.
Wouldn't you rather know that there's a possibility of it than just see it coming up
no,
the street without any
fucking
because
it's not
going
to happen to me and it's not going to happen to you, so I don't care.
The government's
if I
gotten...
Lived,
this is a fucking double standard right here. The government has gotten so much shit for not warning people for storms and all that. You know,
when?
Katrina.
They didn't get yelled at for not warning people. They got yelled at for abandoning the people after the fact.
So, but anyway, so then there's, okay, maybe you're right.
Katrina
but,
was the issue
well,
that they were just
storm,
like, it's black people, so we don't care.
So
that was the criticism.
You're one of these people. This new storm.
Uh-huh.
The one in the Florence one.
Yeah.
Hurricane Florence is what
that you're making fun of, but it's killed people.
I'm not making
you're
fun
a
of
monster.
It.
No,
you're talking the about government
horses.
Warned people to move North Carolina and move, you know,
just pick up the state and just move it north a little
but
bit, and you'll
stilts,
be fine.
Still to the crossing, yeah, a couple,
move
maybe a little
north
bit west.
Carolina, just go.
No, the government fucking eagerly warned people to evacuate.
Okay,
the people who didn't.
Uh huh.
Now are being
are
rescued.
People.
No, well, some of them, yeah. But now have to be rescued by the fucking federal government, you know, and or state, whoever. It's people that have to put themselves in harm's way because people didn't want to listen to the warning.
Yeah.
And so, but, and a lot of, maybe some of those people who didn't want to listen to the warning were a little bit offshore and didn't think they would ever get flooded and didn't listen to the warning because they didn't think they would ever get flooded. So you have one of those people that's going to be waving a flag at his roof. Be like, help me, even though I stayed here,
no,
even though it's a
what?
Ghost
honestly,
town.
Honestly, if I fuck up like that and I realize that I fucked up like that, I'm just going to sit in my soggy house and just be like, all right, I fucked up. I'm not going to make anybody else fucking deal with my shit.
Well, yeah, but you're weird. Your
yeah,
wife would be fucking...
Oh, yeah, no, my wife would be pissed at me. But my wife is the kind of person who would evacuate. If the government said evacuate, she'd be fucking out of here.
No, but you wouldn't make her stay with you.
You know, I tell you... No, I wouldn't. How much control do you think I have over my wife?
Well, I mean, you would probably, you know, give her the guilt. And she probably wouldn't even get the message because she probably...
You know, actually, a few months ago at my building, in my office building, they were a bunch of construction dudes were in for a few days installing new windows. And at one point, a fire alarm went off, like first thing in the morning. And, they, you know, we got the alert, like everybody needs to evacuate. And I was sitting there and this guy was actually that guy, Alec, that you met the other night. He says to me, he's like, dude, we got to evacuate. And I'm like, look. See those construction dudes over there who hadn't stopped working, by the way?
I liked Alec. He was really cool.
Yeah, he was awesome. He's going to be listening to this most likely.
He's very witty, that fella.
Oh, yeah. He's very smart. So anyway, I said to him, I pointed to the construction guys who hadn't responded to the alert at all. And I said, see that one right there? The oldest, grizzledest construction guy with the thickest Boston accent. When he gets nervous... That's when you evacuate.
That's a good point.
Until he gives
either
a shit,
that or,
you're safe.
Well, I don't know. He could be hating his life.
No. The whole time he's sitting there going, ah, boys, don't look and look. Don't fucking look and worry about it. It's just nothing. It's just a test.
Is that the fire alarm? Yeah.
Well, that's not warm yet. We still have time.
So speaking of
what
Alec.
What is your biggest fear? What's your name?
Oh, yeah.
Alec.
Alec, what's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear in life is the thought of small animals being really huge.
So the question of would you rather face off against 100 guinea pig-sized horses or 10 horse-sized guinea pigs?
No, that's an interesting question. My answer is I'd rather die.
You shuddered at the sound of horse-sized guinea pigs.
Look like yes, I did. That's a fact.
I'd rather not be alive anymore.
I'm going to stop doing this because I feel like it's making you uncomfortable, but I appreciate
it. Not uncomfortable from you, but the thought in my head of 10 horse-sized guinea pigs is, yes, that is scaring me.
What about an elephant-sized guinea pig?
I'm going to have nightmares tonight, yes.
In the meanwhile, I'm in the background making guinea pig noises and showing him pictures of capybara. So yeah, so I brought this up to you the other day, and that's why, or you know, a couple weeks, like a week ago or something, but universal basic income. It was a concept I first heard about back during, it was brought up again in like during, you remember the Occupy movement?
Yes, I do.
So they started talking about a lot back then. That was the first time I ever heard of it. And it was an interesting, I like it, kind of an interesting idea. And essentially what it means is that the government gives you money just for being a citizen that basically covers your essentially cost of living.
It makes me laugh just thinking about that. Like it sounds lazy to me. It sounds It sounds like everything everybody's against is not working for your dollar.
Well, it's like it's welfare basically, but
it's
for
very
everyone,
much welfare.
But for everyone, how much money do you get on welfare?
I don't know.
You don't get a lot.
No, probably not.
But it's enough to kind of like it's enough to help you literally just survive. Barely, right?
Yeah.
So imagine if you...
Yeah, absolutely.
So imagine now if you didn't have to...
Which I would think is a blessing.
Yeah, imagine if you didn't have to literally kill yourself working to just get by.
But who does that when they're on welfare?
Well, I'm talking about the people who are not on welfare who like work like two or three jobs to literally just barely make ends meet.
But... Okay, yeah, but they can get welfare.
But they don't. But I'm saying, what I'm saying is, like, imagine if you were getting, like, a welfare check.
Yeah.
Imagine what that would do for you.
It would help.
Yes.
Yes.
And the thing is now this is interesting because the guy goes, I was reading an article the other day about the mindset of poor people because there's a thing where, you know, people have this idea that, like, poor people are stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When you think poor people, you think, you know, oh, they're stupid and they're lazy and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is that being poor, like they have done studies, being poor literally changes the way your brain functions because you lose the ability to think about things in the long term. You're only capable of thinking about things in the short term. And that level of stress makes you more prone to indulging in things that for relaxation, whether it be indulging in drugs and alcohol or in what are considered quote unquote luxury items.
Well, that's a perception of that's like a a stereotype.
But it's not, but I'm saying it's not. They've done research into this to show that what we perceive as you know, you see people who don't have as much money, they don't save their money because in their brain, they're thinking about what I need right now to live. But if you have enough money where you don't have to worry about getting by, it's easier to think about putting a couple $100 in savings every month.
Yes, you're definitely right. Absolutely.
But if you don't have any money, you're not thinking about the future.
No,
you're thinking
sense.
About what right now.
That makes perfect sense to me.
And then, as I was saying, that stress makes you more prone to think like, okay, I just busted my ass working three jobs this week to feed my kids. You know, I've got a little bit of money left over. I'm going to use it to go to a movie.
Yes, yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
And then you go, why the fuck are you going to a movie? Put it in a savings account. It's like, I can't think like that.
I have that thought every time I buy something.
Being poor does that to your brain.
Yes, for sure.
Supplement your income with enough money to just cover groceries and shit. Maybe a little bit of money to go towards rent so you're not killing yourself to make ends meet. Your brain starts to function better. You become a healthier
individual.
It'll
be great. Of course it would be great.
And it makes people better.
But how can it be afforded, first of all? And second of all, like, it's nobody's responsibility except for myself to be able to do that. Like, I could be delivering pizzas five nights a week, you know. Well, I can't because I don't have a car, but you know what I mean. Like, I could be making more money, but I'm not.
Yeah, but, well, the question is, it's like, we live in a society, so the idea of being, and we're kind of encroaching into like socialism territory.
Well, that's exactly what giving everybody the same amount of money every month is.
Yeah, but I mean, why is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad.
We've already
that's
set
what
up
Social
a society.
Security is.
We've already set. Well, no, Social Security is your money.
Yeah,
that's the fucked up thing about Social Security because they're trying to take that. The government is trying to take that away from us every year. and it's your money. You're paying it to them. You're basically saying to the government, hold this money for me until I'm an old fuck who can't work anymore. And
isn't
now
that,
they're saying...
Isn't that retirement and 401k is?
Well, that's what a 401k is, but the Social Security is part of that. It's yeah. supposed to be money you're paying to the government, and they're just supposed to be holding it for you, and then they're supposed to give it back to you when you become too old to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. So the idea that they want to take Social Security away is fucked up because it's not... It's your money. Like, it's not taxes. It's your
so,
money.
Okay, so what's we're getting now.
We're yeah, no, we're getting
universal
we're
income.
Universal income. So, socialism has a bad stigma attached to it. So I'm not here to say socialism is good, but I'm saying we've created a society in order to make. We basically have society, so we have all these agreements that we're going to help each other to live. You know, I'm not going to kill you and take your stuff. I'm just going to get my own stuff.
But that's a basic rule of civilization, really.
That's civilization. So why can't, like, we do other things for each other? Why can't
that's
the people,
communism.
Why can't that? Well, no, because communism is, I mean, the problem with all government systems is that they're all essentially flawed anyway. And communism is basically like you everybody works together and the government basically takes care of everybody. But then that puts all the power in one person's hand. You know, we have a capitalist society where it's a free market and makes things a little bit easier, but...
Okay, so I did hear a good argument for universal healthcare.
Okay.
That, and I believe it was Elon Musk that made it.
Yes, he's a big proponent for it, actually.
Yeah, that it would help...
Richard Nixon was a proponent for it.
Yeah, it would help creative people get... work out of the way and be creative and make their creativeness their work.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But
I mean
that creative people aside, I mean, people who driven people will do what they want to do. They got to do anyway. Like, it's, I don't know. It just
I mean,
doesn't,
not always.
It doesn't feel right to me.
That's the problem is you hear the success stories.
Speaking of it doesn't feel right. I'm going to take that off for the rest of the thing. Just see how
so
the difference is in sound.
We say, you talk about like motivated people are always going to find a way. But the problem is that you only hear the success stories of the motivated people. You don't hear the failure stories of the motivated people who tried the hardest that they could and they sacrificed, but they didn't make it. You're not going to hear their stories. So you don't even know how many people are out there like that.
You do hear a lot of those stories though. Well, and when they eventually make it.
But they don't. But what about the ones who don't make it? For every one person in Hollywood, for example, that makes it, there's like 1,000 people who don't.
Yeah.
And you're never going to hear their stories. And if you don't have those statistics, you don't know.
Some would say those don't deserve to be heard.
Why?
Because they're not good enough.
Well, you listen to success stories from like half the creative people out there who are well known, and there's always an element of luck in their story. They just happen to be in the right place at the right time. So it's not strictly about talent and drive. It's also just about like, hey, the universe liked you that day.
It's like that commercial for New Hampshire Southern University. Talent is equally distributed, but opportunity is not.
Exactly. So, you know, the person who doesn't have the same opportunities but is vastly more talented, what happens to that person?
Well, hell, I mean, shit, I'm not going to say no to it, but I don't think it's the greatest idea.
I mean, there's lots of flaws in it. There's lots of flaws in everything, but I like the idea of we live in a society. We've built a society where we set up rules.
I wish I had the George Costanza drop. We're living in a society.
We live in a society.
I can find it.
You know, I like the idea that we live in a society where we made these social agreements to make each other's lives
to
easier.
Give each other to tell somebody what time it is if they ask you.
Yeah, like.
By the way, I realized that the other day.
What?
Asking somebody what time it is in order to start a conversation is no longer a thing. You can't do that anymore.
I'm so happy about that. I stopped wearing a wristwatch because my social anxiety is so bad that even if I was wearing a digital watch and somebody asked me what time it was, I would not know how to read it. And I would just stare at it until the person, like, I would just freeze and stare at my watch until the person just kind of like confusedly walked away. It was very embarrassing.
That is embarrassing. Why wouldn't you just give them the time instead of being embarrassed?
No, I can't help it. I just freeze up. It's weird. It's hard to describe to people because it's such a stupid fucking thing. And the whole time I'm standing there doing it.
I see nothing but the parches. Do you know where the arrivals are? Yeah, excuse me, sir. Do you have the time?
There's a clock over there.
Wait.
Over there.
But you have a watcher.
Right by the escalator.
Why don't you just look at your watch?
I
told you, it's right over there.
Let me see the watch.
Hey! What are you, some kind of nut?
You know, we're living in a society!
Anyway. Yes, you know, I like the idea of people not having to struggle, and it gives them the opportunity, creative or not, to just be able to better themselves.
But is that not socialism?
Who said socialism's bad?
I don't know. Is that... I'm just...
I mean, Medicaid is socialism.
What?
Medicaid.
Oh, okay.
Medicaid, that's socialism.
What are the socialist countries that don't, we don't like? Is there a reason that we don't like socialist countries?
Because our government is capitalist, and so it's propaganda. Well,
democratic.
It's...
Democracy.
Well, our economy is capitalism, and
that doesn't have to do with socialism.
It's propaganda. We get told that any other form of economy is bad
because
we are capitalist. You know, in China they're communists, and in China they're told that capitalism is bad.
Yes, they are very much so,
and we think it's great. The problem is, I mean, there are inherent flaws in every economic system. I mean, capitalism really only works if you can just pretend that monopolies don't exist. The problem is that
even
they do.
If this were true, who cares?
Oh, good, you got to do it. Are you fucking proud of yourself?
I wanted to play that clip.
But no, I was just saying, like, Richard Nixon actually floated the idea of a universal basic income for families specifically, which I think is a good idea. At least, like, if we're going to do it, you put limitations on it.
Well, that's what welfare is.
Yeah, but welfare is,
there's limitations on it. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, but
except for you have to go through paperwork to get it. You have to sign up for it instead of just getting it.
Yeah, no, this is the thing where you just, as a citizen, you get it. It's a right. You get it. It's just enough money for you to live. I don't know. I think it would be useful. You know, maybe there would be people who take
advantage
of it.
I think that the rights that we get already
take advantage of it now.
We're already granted the right of freedom, I think.
Actually, you know what? I forgot to bring this up. They have it in Alaska.
Well, okay.
And Alaska... those are some fucking hardworking people.
Yeah, they are.
You need to fly a plane just to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Alaska's fucking nuts. We're not supposed to live there.
All right, I'm getting so...
It works there. I mean, it works spaced. There so much that the Clintons actually... Hillary considered using it as a platform when she was running in 2016. Instead, she decided to use the platform of Donald Trump's an idiot, but I kind of suck too.
Yeah, didn't work.
And it sounds like in the next year or so, they're going to start implementing it in parts of California and other parts in America. So we'll see how that works out. But
so then to be continued.
Yeah, I guess. I just wanted to debate it. I thought it was an interesting idea. And I figured it would definitely be something that you would be for, which it sounds like you're not for it.
I don't think
but
I am.
You wouldn't kick it out of bed.
I would not turn down money. I'm not in the fucking business of turning down free money.
You're not in
money.
The position to do that now.
All right, let's end this.
Let's end this fiasco. So, you know, we're gonna go ahead and say if you like us or if you hate us, go to wcwjmpod.com and you can subscribe to all of our bullshit there.
That's not what I meant to play.
And you know, find us on iTunes and Google Play Music, and you leave us a reviews. You leave us a reviews, and you say we're bad people. Tell
See,
us
you're
we're
tired
bad.
Too.
Tell us we're bad boys, and give us a little spanking, spanky.
I don't like that at all.
You can follow Jackson on the Twitters at Jackson WZLX.
Yes.
You can follow me on Twitter at Mars85. That's MARZ85 on Twitter. And also, as I always like to say, check out Who Cares on Instagram at Who Cares, because I love the Instagrams. They're fun. I've got these things fucking memorized. Like, I didn't even have to read the sheets.
That was good.
I didn't have to read the sheets. I got no sheets.
And this song is appropriately called The Seinfeld Chronicles.
Good night, everybody.